Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
In Manhattan, going down to Madison Square Garden for tonight's showdown, Penn State Northwestern Big Ten Tournament. 6:30 the tip, 6 o'clock the airtime. Today's show brought to you by Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Next half hour, Andrew Callahan at 24/7 Sports to talk about tonight's Penn State Northwestern game. And in just a few moments, Jeff Byers on the Big Ten Wrestling Championships taking place in East Lansing at Michigan State. But first, Arkansas knocks off Auburn in our play-by-play call of the day.
CJ across the timeline, 10 seconds. Nobody gets to shoot. They're going to bounce out the final seconds, and the Hogs, for the fourth time this year, have beaten a ranked team at Bud Walton Arena, and Auburn's going to have to wait till they get home and play South Carolina if they're going to clinch the SEC championship. Hogs win it tonight, 91-82, the senior night final. And it's a celebration of sorts tonight for the Razorbacks. Season not done, but it's fun to win on senior night, fun to win that last home game.
And therein lies the issue for Arkansas. Did you hear him say they've had four wins against ranked teams at home? That's great. That is really great. Arkansas's problem is they don't have anything on the road to speak of. You do have to have that at some point. That is Arkansas's issue. Auburn's, by the way, very good, but not playing its best basketball down the stretch. That's our play-by-play call of the day. All right. Let's shift gears now from basketball. Our thanks to Joe Lenardi joining us in the previous half hour. Andrew Callahan, 24/7 Sports, in the next half hour. But let's shift gears now to wrestling. The Big Ten Championships taking place at the Breslin Center in East Lansing. The play-by-play voice of Penn State Wrestling, Jeff Byers, joining us. And Jeff, I mean, I know a lot of people are looking forward to the showdown. Center Matt, you against the Purdue play-by-play guy.
Thanks, Steve.
All right, Jason Nolf, yay or nay?
Yay. I'm not exactly sure how much yay we're going to get out of Jason. He will wrestle a match for sure, Steve. I think they're going to kind of see how it goes. Based on what I'm seeing in the room, I think Jason will wrestle the whole way through. That is what he wants. I think the coach is to be a little cautious here and make sure they have him as healthy as can be for the NCAA tournament. So he will definitely go one match. I think they're going to assess everything at that point. We may only see him in one match. That would be enough to get him qualified for nationals. They'll go from there, but I'd say it's 50-50 right now that he wrestles through the tournament. And again, that's my guess at this point.
Right. You know, at minimum, he'd be a wild card anyway. I mean, because they're going to take him no matter what.
Correct. Yeah, he has to wrestle, as you remember last year with Nick Soriano.
Yeah.
You have to wrestle a bout. Now, Soriano wrestled a second, and then injury defaulted in his only match at the Big Ten tournament. That's not what's going to happen with Jason. He will wrestle a full match is the expectation at the very least. Again, Jason is lobbying to go ahead and wrestle the whole tournament, and he looks very good in the room right now.
He's been out a little bit. Is there an element of freshness to him?
Yeah, I actually think that could work in his favor, Steve. I was worried about the conditioning, but he's actually been able to get on the bike a good bit, the aerodyne, and so I don't think conditioning is an issue for him. And, yeah, I kind of think this time of the year, getting a little break and letting your body kind of rest up. And, you know, Jason's at the stage of his career where all of these guys, as you get into your junior year in college, if you're wrestling all the way through, you're your body is going to have some bumps and bruises. It takes a toll on the body if you're wrestling year-round the way these guys are. So I actually think it may very well be a benefit in terms of Jason feeling good and having everything feeling maybe even better than what it has all season long.
Has he done enough in the room to eliminate that initial fear that I might hurt it again when I go out there?
Yeah, he has, Steve. I've watched him a couple of times, and that knee has been, it hasn't been bent against the joint, obviously. You hope
right.
That never happens. But they have, he has had that knee grabbed or that leg grabbed and the knee rolled on and has looked fine. He's been bouncing up and down on it. So, I don't think there's any fear on his part. Again, there is obviously some concern. It is an injury that he could re-injure it. I mean, it's not one of those where there's no chance of
right.
Re-injuring it or, you know, doing further damage. So that's why the coaching staff right now is leaning toward wrestling him just the one bout at Big Ten. But Jason's a pretty savvy kid, and
yeah.
I think would know how to keep himself out of, putting himself in a position where he can further damage it.
Will they put a sleeve on it, or is he allowed to wrestle with a brace?
Yeah, I think you are allowed to wrestle with a brace, and I'm of the understanding he hasn't really been wearing one in the room, but I believe the plan is to have him in a brace for the Big Ten tournament,
okay.
again, just to stabilize the knee.
Right. All right. Vincenzo Joseph, how important a tournament is this for him psychologically? Because he'd been humming along, and suddenly there's a stumble.
Yeah, obviously he wants to win it, and I think it gets you in a great frame of mind if you do, but Vincenzo's the type of kid, Steve. The two times that he's been thrown to his back here, I mean, he had those incidents shaken off by the time he walked off the mat. He's just not a guy that lets his confidence get shaken. And really, I think we saw that last year when he won the national title after taking third at Big Ten. So, again, he wants to win these matches at the Big Tens. Obviously, you want to get as good a seeding as you can at these. But I really don't think it's critical for Vincenzo and his chances of winning the national title that he goes out and wins Big Tens. It would be better for him to do that than not. But he's not a kid that lets what's happened in the past, good or bad, really affect the way he goes about preparing for the next match or the next
right.
competition.
And he went to his back because he was trying to do the big move. I mean, that's what it was. I mean, he felt like he had enough control in the match to try it. That's why he did it, and it just turned out he got wrong-footed.
Yeah, and he is so comfortable in that position, and I think they're just making sure. And again, he's pretty savvy. I think he understands. It's fine to go
yeah.
for that move. Just make sure you have it. And he just didn't have his balance the first time. And the second time, I think he did have it, but he just got – he kind of stepped over himself on it and
right.
Kind of threw himself to his back, really. But, I don't – Vincenzo's not especially worried about it, and I really don't think that the coaches are either. Overall, he really has been wrestling exceptionally well, and I think they feel good, and he feels good about where he's at heading into the postseason.
Look, we know who the favorite is at heavyweight. I mean, we all got it. But how confident should Nick Nevels be going into this thing?
Yeah, I think very confident, Steve. I really do think Nick right now is wrestling the best he has in his career. I just think he has a real good feel now for what he needs to do to have success. And listen, Adam Kuhn and Kyle Snyder are unquestionably the two best heavyweights in the country this season. But I think if anybody is going to knock either of those guys off, Nick Nevels has as good a shot as anyone. And I think, barring an upset by Nevels, I really do think both at Big Tens and nationally, Nick Nevels can realistically think the third place is his. And I think it obviously opens up next year with both Kuhn and Snyder departing for Nevels to have a shot to win the national title next year. Again, he's going in with the idea of winning it this year. I think Kuhn and Snyder right now are just wrestling at a little different level.
Between Hall, Rutherford, Nichols, we all know, and Bo Nickel, we all know what the heck, you know, they're the favorites going in. What are the spots that you'd be concerned that Penn State would not be able to garner a lot of points?
Yeah, I think 25 and 33 are still the areas of concern. I think Murray Keener, as a 6 seed, is seeded appropriately in the top 8 go to Nationals. So he should be, even with an upset loss somewhere, be in good shape to get to Nationals, but might not count for a lot of points here at Big Tens. He's continuing to work. He's really got to have a good tournament on his mat wrestling, or ideally not have to worry about the mat wrestling and take control of things from the neutral position. And Carson Kuhn is kind of the great unknown here, Steve.
Yeah.
He's got a lot of talent. There's no question about that, and he's a fun kid to watch in the room right now. He knows this is his last opportunity. It is a loaded weight class, and I really don't know what to expect. The good news for Kuhn is he would weigh at Big Ten, and he's into the NCAA tournament
right
as one of the top 10.
Well, we were all excited to see what Hall could potentially do on this stage a year ago. How do you feel about it?
Yeah, I really like the way Nick's wrestling, Steve. And much like Hall, he just is a guy that has a lot of confidence in himself, a lot of belief in himself. I think the fact that he has seen the competition he has this season, has had a good feel from some of the top contenders in the country at his weight. He knows some of the little adjustments technically to get where he wants to be. And I just, again, we'll see how it all plays out. But heading into the postseason, I just think the, and I feel very good about where Nick Lee is and the way he is competing right now.
What's the deepest weight class, in your opinion, to bring some interesting results at this Big Ten?
Yeah, I think 165 is loaded, obviously, at the top. 141 is very deep, and 125 is just exceptionally deep this year, both at Big Tens and Nationals. But those would be the weight classes right now that I think would garner, you know, you could see three or four guys competing for the national title from the Big Ten at 165, really the same thing at 125. And 141 might not be quite as deep at the top, but I think in terms of overall depth of guys that can make some noise at the NCAAs and get on the podium, I you know, there's probably 8 or 9 kids there that are capable of doing that at 141.
Always a great championship, and it sets everything up for the NCAAs coming up as well. In some ways, this is its own mini NCAA tournament, isn't it?
It really is. It's you just don't have you might have a match here where you can skate by at Nationals. Sometimes, again, depending on how the parents go, you can have 2 or 3 matches that you feel comfortable with. The Big Ten, it's kind of right from the get go. You're at the hero of the tournament.
Well, enjoy all the great restaurants in Lansing. They have a Stone Cold Creamery. So enjoy.
You know what? I do like Cold Stone, so I'll be okay.
You're going to be just fine. In fact, you might be the leader of the pack. This is an opportunity for you, by the way, to use that gift card. All right. So,
amen, brother.
My good friend, great to hear you. You'll be great out there. We look forward to listening to it.
Thanks a lot, Steve. I appreciate it.
That's the voice of Penn State Wrestling, Jeff Byers. You'll be able to catch his call on GoPSUSports.com this weekend from East Lansing. Big Ten Network will have live coverage of the championship finals of the Big Ten Wrestling Tournament on Sunday starting at 3 p.m. Hey, we invite you to subscribe to our Steve Jones Show podcast. It's available on both the Apple Podcast app, iTunes, and Google Play. Our podcasts drop by 6 p.m. each Monday through Friday. So in case you miss any of the portions live on WKOK or want to listen to them again, maybe you're a big-time wrestling fan and missed a portion of Jeff Byers there, you'll be able to check that out on our podcast. And also 3 months of shows, we've got them archived at SteveJonesShow.com. Steve on his way to Madison Square Garden. Live coverage of Penn State Northwestern tonight in the Big Ten basketball tournament. The pregame with Steve and DJ will be starting at 6 and then the call at 6:30. See if Penn State can advance and take on Ohio State in the next round in the tournament tomorrow from Madison Square Garden. First time the tournament's ever been held in the Big Apple and MSG. Coming up, we have more on the Penn State Northwestern matchup. Andrew Callahan from Lions247.com will break down the Penn State Wildcats matchup with Steve to wrap up the show at 4:35 on WKOK.
When it comes to car buying, there's the other guy's way, and then there's the SMC way. The other guys force you into a vehicle you really don't want. The Sunbury Motors way lets you take the time you need to browse, ask questions, and take the test drive and think on it. For over 100 years, the Mertz family and all their employees have made your experience the most pleasant one you'll ever have. The other guys won't offer you the best price for your trade, no matter how much they say they will. The SMC way is their promise to provide you with the most money the market shows your vehicle is worth. The SMC way is to offer you all applicable factory rebates on new vehicles and generous discounts. Looking for a pre-owned vehicle? The SMC way checks each vehicle in a 200-mile radius to determine the lowest price, then beat it. It's the lowest price promise, just part of the SMC way. The choice is up to you. The other guy's way or the SMC way? The SMC way wins every time. Sunbury Motors Company in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and at sunburymotors.com. Selling more cars and satisfying more customers for over 100 years.
Steve Jones Show, News Radio 1070 WKOK, and Sean. Steve on his way to Madison Square Garden for tonight's Penn State Northwestern matchup. Airtime from the Garden will be at 6 here on WKOK, and play-by-play at 6:30 with Steve and Dick Girardi. Earlier today in the Big Ten basketball tournament, it was Wisconsin eliminating Maryland 59-54. And in progress, as they are approaching the under-8 timeout in the second half, Michigan is trying to pull away from Iowa. Michigan is up 5, 56-51. Coming up tonight over on Eagle 107, live coverage of the Patriot League quarterfinals with the Bucknell Bison. They have the overall number one seed and home court advantage. Loyola eliminated Army on Tuesday night, so Loyola heads to Sueca this evening to take on the Bison. Airtime will be 6:30 on the network over on Eagle 107 with Doug Birdsong and head coach Nathan Davis in the pregame, and Doug will have the call at 7. All four quarterfinal games will be playing at the same time tonight around the Patriot League. The other three are Lafayette at Colgate, Boston University at Lehigh, and Holy Cross at Navy. And Doug will, without a doubt, keep you up to date on all of those matchups this evening. Coming up in the next half hour, Andrew Callahan from Lions247.com, Penn State basketball football analyst. Andrew breaks down tape, does a great job, and we'll get his thoughts on tonight's matchup with the Nittany Lions and Northwestern. Story that broke just after lunchtime today, a very sad one in the NFL. We have learned over the years and have followed the journey of Pro Football Hall of Famer Jim Kelly. He has been cancer-free for nearly 4 years. The Buffalo Bills and the Kelly family have released a statement this afternoon that Jim Kelly's cancer has returned. Kelly family releasing the statement this afternoon. Our family has faced many trials and triumphs throughout the years. You have blessed us with your prayers. We're asking for those prayers once again. The oral cancer we hoped it would be gone forever has returned. We're shocked and deeply saddened to receive this news. Jim says, I know God's with me. I continuously talk with the four F's, faith, family, friends, and fans. And with all of you by my side, we will fight and win this battle together. Staying Kelly tough. Jim Kelly, Jim's wife, Jill, posted a photo on Instagram of she and Jim walking through a medical facility, whether that was earlier today or recently. She posted on her Instagram, the cancer is back. We're shocked, heartbroken, sad, angry, confused, and just tired. Yet despite how we feel, we know God is a promise maker and keeper. He is who he says he is. He can do what he says we can do. We don't have to understand his ways, but just trust his heart. The battle is his. We need you. In addition to our faith, family, and friends, we really need you and your prayer warriors to pray. We're all in this together. The more life and heartbreak I experience, the more I realize this is not the end of the story. Life is temporary and short, but eternity is forever. Because we know our eternity is secure in Christ, we can trust God with every breath upon this earth. That's from Jill Kelly after the news coming out earlier today that the oral cancer has returned for a pro football great, Buffalo Bill legend Jim Kelly. The NFL Combine, the Scouting Combine, continues in Indianapolis. By the way, Pittsburgh Steelers beat writer Jerry Dulac is in Indianapolis. He's scheduled to join us Monday here on the Steve Jones Show on WKLK. So we'll talk Steelers football free agency, and we'll also get a Scouting Combine recap from Jerry. Saquon Barkley, of course, he is in Indianapolis. Spoke to the media earlier today. He will be on the field for his workout tomorrow. And a lot of NFL talent evaluators believe Barkley is the top prospect in this year's draft, and says he has no cause for concern if any of the NFL have-nots at the top of the draft board select him in April. And Barkley really said he didn't care where he went in the draft. He would keep his head down and give all that he could possibly could give to the team that chooses him. Now, the Cleveland Browns have top two picks in the top four. They've got number one and number four in the opening round to go with a 1-31 record over the past two seasons combined. Barkley says that it would be awesome, quote-unquote, if Cleveland made him one of their picks. He says, that's awesome. Something bigger than you. You go to a team that obviously have been dealing with some rough years, but I think they're a couple of pieces away, have a lot of young talent, new offensive coordinator. You want to be part of something like that, something bigger than yourself, something you leave a legacy of being part of something special. So we are less than 2 months away from the draft. Scouting Combine continues through Monday. And we'll wrap up some pro football talk with Jerry Dulac on Monday, 4:06 here on the Steve Jones Show. Of course, you hear Jerry on the Steelers Radio Network pregame, 100.9 The Valley, your home for the Pittsburgh Steelers. Sunbury Motors, Ford, Lincoln, Hyundai, in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, Sunbury Motors, Kia, on the Strip, Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Bottom of the hour we go. Next half hour, we'll have Steve's conversation with Andrew Callahan as they preview tonight's Penn State Northwestern tournament game from the Garden as we continue on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Sean Carey with you on the Steve Jones Show. Steve on his way to Madison Square Garden, New York City. The first time ever, MSG hosting the 2018 Big Ten Men's Basketball Tournament. Penn State and Northwestern tonight, 7-10 matchup. We'll have that for you here on News Radio 1070 WKOK. You'll also be able to listen to it on the WKOK app, the Penn State Sports Network, beginning at 6. Steve and Dick Girardi will have the call at 6:30. Penn State looking to advance to tomorrow's matchup against Ohio State. And there was Big Ten action earlier today in the tournament. Wisconsin, noon matchup against Maryland. The Badgers advance. Just a second, we'll have Andrew Callahan from Lions 24/7 break down tonight's matchup between Penn State and Northwestern. Quarterfinals will get rolling tomorrow. The top four seeds will finally hit the floor. And we'll see if Penn State can get out there, too, against Ohio State. Michigan has pulled away from Iowa, 68-61, about 2 minutes left there. And as we mentioned earlier, Wisconsin defeating Maryland 59-54. The nightcap tonight will be Rutgers and Indiana to wrap up the play today. So one matchup is set for tomorrow, high noon. It'll be Wisconsin against Michigan State, number two seed. Don't forget our Steve Jones Show podcast. Subscribe. You can find us on both Google Play and the Apple Podcast app and iTunes. We haven't done a sports bozo in a while, so I thought I'd throw this in. Mike Jeffcoat, a former Major League Baseball pitcher, now baseball coach, and he was fired for refusing to recruit Colorado players over weed laws, marijuana laws. And he's the baseball coach at Texas Wesleyan. He told an inquiring high school prospect in an email that he doesn't recruit players from the state of Colorado because they won't pass the school's drug tests. His words. And a story that ran in the Houston Chronicle confirmed Jeff Coates' email, which said, "Thanks for your interest in the program. Unfortunately, we're not recruiting players from Colorado. In the past, players from there had trouble passing our drug test, so we have made a decision not to take a chance on student athletes from that state. Best of luck wherever you decide to play." Well, every word that Jeff Coates typed in an email got him into more deeper trouble. He started out with, quote-unquote, "Players have had trouble passing our drug test. We have made a decision to not take a chance on student athletes in your state." Sounds kind of silly, though. But that recruit probably didn't even, well, obviously the recruits got to be under 21, can't vote. But Texas Wesleyan went out of its way to say, no, school policies do not dictate that all kids from Colorado get excluded from recruiting calls. No way of a reflection of Texas Wesleyan University or our practices. So good to go for that kid putting a red flag on the head coach. So that could maybe qualify as a sports bozo of the day. Haven't thrown one of them in a while. You can always get in contact with us. Our email is stevejones@wkok.com. stevejones@wkok.com on social media, too. Like us on Facebook. Follow us on Twitter. Twitter handle at stevejonespsu. We tweet out sports headlines, links to the podcast, and much more. Do that on Facebook as well. And, of course, our website, stevejonesshow.com. All right, Steve and Dick Girardi tonight, Madison Square Garden, Penn State, and Northwestern tip off in about an hour and 50 minutes. They'll get the pregame going at 6. And we got Penn State basketball conversation with Steve and Andrew Callahan from Lions 24/7.
Oh, I get it every day, even in the grocery stores.
I'm not surprised. I mean, I'm not surprised. When you work around star power, you know, I mean, you know, but you have done a good job of emerging from that incredible shadow.
Well, thank you. I mean, here I am, today.
Yeah, exactly. Okay, so now here it is. Time to play ball in the Big Ten tournament. Let's start with your thoughts on where you think this team is. I'll start with this. What did you think of the small lineup that was used in the second half? And you can't do it the entire 40 minutes, but what did you think of it?
I think it was a smart move. I honestly thought, you know, they jumped into it late in the first half, and that even then was probably a little bit late because you could tell early on whether it was Julian Moore, Satchel Pierce, or John Hara. You know, they just weren't doing enough, and not only just doing enough in the offensive end, but hurting you defensively, missed assignments all over the place. But when you went smaller, it was much more difficult for Nebraska to guard you. Not only did you have, you know, your next five best players on the floor when you take Mike Watkins out of that equation, you're able to press a little bit more, and you could get into that three-quarter court press, which led to easy buckets. So I think right now, if Mike Watkins is, again, after Thursday, and any time moving forward, that small ball lineup is probably the best version of this Penn State team.
Yeah. I mean, you're obviously at some point going to have to play somebody big in there because it's just only so many minutes these guys can play. But it's obvious the six guys that would be in a smaller lineup for them. What about the reemergence of Wheeler here down the stretch?
I think it's been really key for them. I mean, it's funny. His real worst struggles coincided with this resurgence that Penn State had as a team. You know, you didn't really see him against Ohio State on the road, Michigan State again on the road, and, you know, didn't contribute so much when they're winning those four straight games. But they have needed him defensively. I think Nebraska was a great example of that, even Michigan. And part of it's out of need. Again, Watkins is out. That's a lot of minutes you've got to replace. But what he gives you is unlike any skill you'll find elsewhere in the Big Ten. I mean, Josh Reeves is rightfully lauded for all the steals that he gets, but on a per 40-minute basis, Jamari has more pressure to ball handlers than Reeves does and comes up with more steals. So it's just a matter of lifting the rest of his game, which is going to be a process, but for now, he's doing enough in every other area where you can get him out on the floor and not hurt yourselves as you were about a month ago.
One of the issues that I see, when you look at the Penn State starting five, really, really good, and obviously helps on the way with the recruiting next year with bringing more offense in, because both those players have great reputations coming into Penn State. But when you remove one person from that starting lineup, I don't care whether it was Reeves or Watkins, it's been my sense that they're playing too often 4-on-5 offensively. Fair?
I think so. I mean, we've known all along this is not a deep team because, again, you know, when you have someone out of star lineup, you're naturally drawing from that bench, which is very short. And I referenced the Michigan State loss they had on the road, you know, even amid this resurgence. And I wrote after that game, when Mike Watkins was not able to play, really, you know, unless you get an unlikely performance from the likes of Julian Moore, John Harris, Satchel Pierce, you know, that's going to be a death sentence for this team against top 25 competition. And they got really good performances from all three at Purdue, which is why that was a three-point game, despite Mike Watkins essentially sitting out the entire thing. So I think you're right in that sense. It's been the truth the whole season. And really the only worry about this team is that lack of depth. You know, perhaps you throw free throw shooting in there, but it's really been their only, you know, one Achilles heel. You point to that area and go, that could give them some trouble if they have to go into that bench.
What do you think about the fact the Big Ten tournament is at Madison Square Garden and the compressed schedule to get there?
I did not like the compressed schedule to get there. I was actually surprised to see Jim Delaney admit that it was not healthy. I think it's something you probably could have foreseen, but for the Big Ten, it was worth it for them to take that gamble. And obviously, the whole spotlight is going to be on them this week, right? So that'll lead to increased revenue and more eyes in the TV and probably butts in the seats at Madison Square Garden. You know, when I was in college, Steve, at UConn, that was when they were still in the Big East tournament. They, of course, played down there every year. And there's no atmosphere like it. So I think for people who are going, the teams involved, it's just an unparalleled experience, which is great. But I think the road's been a little bit too rocky in order to get there. If you had pushed it back and spread it out, you know, the rest of the conference games, that would have been better for the student athlete. And, of course, that's why we're all here.
And what's interesting, though, is I felt everybody in the conference was a great soldier about this. You didn't hear a lot of griping, complaining. You know, I mean, when it came out, people commented about it, you know, that it was going to happen. At Big Ten Media Day, people commented about it. But once the season started, Andrew, I didn't hear anybody talk about it because I think they just felt like as professionals, as coaches, and then, of course, as players, just go out and play.
Right. And you know what the coaches always talk about, what, you know, don't focus on things you can't control. So for them, this is obviously in that realm, and they can't, you know, practice, you know, something that they don't preach to their kids. So if they're moaning about it, they give their kids free rein to moan about it.
Right.
And, you know, that detracts from the average energy you have in a given day. So they want to pour all of that into winning. Either had they come out, because again, like I said, when people, you know, saw that they were going to do this, I mean, the consequences are pretty foreseeable. It's not like this was a surprise. The teams are a little bit more tired, nicked up, and the games were all crunched together. So, you know, I think it was byproducts that were, you know, perhaps a benefit were experimenting with the Friday night games, which you didn't see a whole lot of Sunday night. Maybe those ratings surprised a little bit because, of course, you got to play those nights if you're going to cut off a week of the season. But, you know, they didn't complain about it. But if they did, you know, I think they probably would have had every right to.
Obviously, one at a time. Say Penn State does win on Thursday. They would then play Ohio State on Friday. You would now have the team with the least amount of rest in the tournament playing Sunday, Thursday, against the team that has the most, because Ohio State had not played since Friday.
Right, and it's, you know, a top seed, too, which they can't predict it. I don't think anyone did at the beginning of the year that, you know, Ohio State
right,
would be
exactly.
Likely to grab one of the top four teams and have a double bye. So that part you can't avoid, but it's a real tough situation for Penn State again, and you're looking at Northwestern. I wrote about this yesterday. I don't think you can expect much from Mike Watkins at all Thursday or really in this Big Ten tournament, because let's say, best case scenario, he even comes back from what looks like a fairly serious knee injury. What's the likelihood of someone like him playing in a back-to-back? Not
right.
Very good, or at least effectively. So not only is it just the rest component for everybody, but again, one of your top three players now who is playing hurt in the first place and then has to do that an even shorter rest, I think, you know, it'd be a huge disadvantage. But of course, they're not going to use that as an excuse, and, you know, we've seen crazier things happen.
And then there's the next part, too. When you look at Northwestern, Scotty Lindsey had been slumping going into both of the games against Penn State and didn't really, you know, he was okay in the second game. I think he was okay. I think he played decently in the second game. He's actually shooting the ball and playing really well here down the stretch.
He is, too, and it's been important, too, with Vic Law being out. He's not going to play in there. Their second leading scorer, who's a good shooter from three, and provide some length from them. Scotty Lindsey, you know, it's always kind of that snake analogy that people go with in terms of where you start to cut things off from a defensive perspective. But, you know, they've got some other guys that can hurt you. Of course, Brian McIntosh is in there. Pardon is going to be a problem on the glass for them. So, you know, again, if you're Penn State and you're you're not going to have Mike Watkins. Your focus has to be on the glass, not only just because Nebraska pounded you on the board, but the last time you saw Northwestern, they had 13 offensive rebounds. So they've got enough offensive threats, and Lindsey's going to be a problem. But, you know, you can't focus on one in particular. You've got to get to the glass. And I think if they shut down, you know, they're competitive on the boards, and they defend the three-point line well, because the guy who's coming off the bench instead of for Vic Baugh right now has been Gavin Skelly. He's another 38-39% three-point shooter. They should be fine. They're going to be favorites. They're more talented. I think they'll bounce back, but it'll really be that three-point line. And again, taking Lindsey and a couple of those other guys off the boards, that should do the trick.
And by the way, if you're wondering about Bryant McIntosh, he's listed as questionable. He has said straight out he is playing. Right?
Yeah.
And I don't expect anything less from him. I mean, this is a fabulous heart and soul guy. I mean, he really is.
Yeah, he is. And, you know, sometimes that's difficult to quantify. You talk about heart, soul guys or glue guys. But when you look at him, I mean, his assist rate is top 40 in the country. So that's a guy who's making everybody else on his team better in a quantifiable sense. So he's a player they're definitely going to miss. And questionable. I'm not surprised at all by that answer. That's a kid who's going to play regardless of circumstance.
What do you think the keys are in this game?
Well, I'll go back to what I was just saying. You know, again, it really harps on the fact that Mike Watkins has not been in there for Penn State.
Right.
When he's been missing, they get pounded on the boards against Nebraska. And last time they saw Northwestern, they did the same thing to them. So they got to secure the offensive glass, deny those easy buckets, and not rely on the simple fact of, again, we're more talented. We should win this game. But the one area where, again, I think Northwestern could surprise them is from distance. So those two areas, easy buckets, three-point shots, could get Northwestern back into this more quickly. And the other part is I think they'll be able to have some success with that press because, you know, when you look at Northwestern, they're turning the ball over. They were second to worst in the Big Ten play this season in terms of their turnover percentage. So if they're playing small, they'll probably do that more often, and this could just be a happy coincidence. But, you know, they should be able to apply pressure defensively, lead to easy buckets, and if they deny that from Northwestern and open looks from behind the perimeter, I really don't see why Penn State, even without Mike Watkins, should lose this game.
And Vic Law, by the way, is probably Northwestern's best defender. I mean, and that, you know, for them, they've got to make up for having what they perceive to be as their best defender out of there. How important is it in this game to get to and play with the lead?
I think it's extremely important. I mean, you always want to do that in any given game, but this should be a pro Penn State crowd. I don't think Northwestern travels too well and shouldn't from a distance. So for Penn State, if you're able to get that early lead, just some confidence, because again, this is a team that lost its last three, won, you know, by the time they tip off in two full weeks. So while they're close games and you're still confident when you go on the road and show up at Purdue and, you know, you have two injury-riddled losses to Michigan, Nebraska, you just want to get that lead early, get some mojo, get some confidence, start spreading the ball around. And I think it's Tony Carter, obviously, can go get buckets when he needs to, but if they can get Shep Garner and Josh Reeves involved early, which I really think should be an emphasis, I have a real hard time Penn State not winning this game, because they'll need those guys, and an early lead would do wonders for everyone.
It'll be interesting to see, you know, if Shep goes out in his first couple shots in the game. Remember, he has shot the ball really well in the two games he has played in Madison Square Garden already. So if he hits the first couple right away, that might be an indication that, boy, I love this place.
No doubt. And I was there last year when they played against St. John's, which, of course, you know, has no real carryover or connection to the game. But 92 points is enough as it is. And he was absolutely unstoppable. Going back to, I think it was 6 for 9 that he was there. And I asked him post-game, like, this is the best you played offensively since you've been at Penn State? He was like, probably. I don't want to say that just yet. But they ran the Johnnies out of their own building.
Yeah.
It's a big stage. And I think this is like when Tony Carr went off near the Barclays Center against Texas A&M and Pitt. I think those are two guys that the higher the stage, the better they play.
Yeah. So we'll find out about that. The fact that it's at the Garden, I assume you'll be there, right?
Yes.
Yeah. How important is it pending for them to get this tournament back east? Because if it's in Chicago or Indianapolis, you're probably not going to be there. So last year and this year, you've been able to go. What kind of feel has that been able to give you as a reporter for what you're looking at in this conference and in terms of the talent level?
You know, it's interesting. I think from the Big Ten's perspective, they would love this to be kind of a welcoming party for Rutgers and Maryland, which, you know, Rutgers, of course, has been the bottom of the conference for football and then basketball. Now you've got a chance to play closer to home, presumably have a pro crowd. Maryland's actually a little bit closer than state colleges to Madison Square Garden, so you're trying to lift up those schools. You know, as a whole, I'm not sure how much there's a benefit. Obviously, it helps a little bit for Penn State. I think ultimately, you know, where it matters, of course, is going to be on the floor, and the veteran team is the ones that you see at the top seed. seats. It's not going to affect them. They're there because they've won road games. But, you know, for the Big Ten as a whole, they'd love to get more to that New York market and playing, you know, in the world's most famous arena in a week where no one else is having a conference tournament, I think is a great first step. But we have to see how it plays out because, of course, there's still big games in college hoops elsewhere this week.
Oh, exactly. But I'm talking about for you personally. To get there and see. I'm talking about you being there. Because, look, if it's in Chicago, you're probably not there. And because it's been in D.C. and New York the last 2 years, the budget says you can go. So what kind of benefit has that been for you to see something like this firsthand?
Oh, sure. I mean, I enjoy it. Like I said, you know, I used to go to the Garden every year as a student, which was a real luxury that I had and kind of growing up in journalism, and it's been fun. You know, our budget still isn't great. Like, you know, it definitely helps having, excuse me, friends in those cities, D.C. and New York, to be with and stay with.
Right.
But, you know, like I said, it's an old experience, and it doesn't take a whole lot to even see that, whether you're watching on TV or there. So it's tremendous. I mean, of course, I would want any basketball tournament, frankly, to be played at Madison Square Garden. I think you could probably put a couple arenas in there. But, you know, if you're looking for atmosphere and history, you can't beat it.
Andrew, thanks so much. I really look forward to seeing you there.
Yeah, it'll be a blast. We'll see you then, Steve.
That's Andrew Callahan from Lions247.com, Penn State basketball writer. He'll be in the Garden tonight watching it, and we'll be catching it here on WKOK, Penn State and Northwestern. Tip off at 6:30. The network with Steve and Dick Girardi will crank up in just over an hour from now. Got a nail biter going on currently now in the Garden. Iowa was able to come back and tie Michigan 67-67 as they are now in overtime. They're able to wipe out a 6-point deficit at the under 4 timeout. So we'll see if Michigan can survive and move into the tournament quarterfinals tomorrow in the Garden, which will kick off at noon with Wisconsin and Michigan State. Steve back in an hour for Penn State basketball. Thanks for listening to today's Steve Jones Show, brought to you by Sunbury Motors. Sunbury Motors Ford Lincoln Hyundai in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia on the Strip, Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf on WKOK.
When it comes to car buying, there's the other guy's way, and then there's the SMC way. The other guys force you into a vehicle you really don't want. The Sunbury Motors way lets you take the time you need to browse, ask questions, and take the test drive and think on it. For over 100 years, the Mertz family and all their employees have made your experience the most pleasant one you'll ever have. The other guys won't offer you the best price for your trade, no matter how much they say they will. The SMC way is their promise to provide you with the most money the market shows your vehicle is worth. The SMC way is to offer you all applicable factory rebates on new vehicles and generous discounts. Looking for a pre-owned vehicle? The SMC way checks each vehicle in a 200-mile radius to determine the lowest price, then beat it. It's the lowest price promise, just part of the SMC way. The choice is up to you. The other guy's way or the SMC way? The SMC way wins every time. Sunbury Motors Company in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and at sunburymotors.com. Selling more cars and satisfying more customers for over 100 years.
Your station for news, weather, business, and CBS Sports Radio. News Radio 1070 WKOK Sunbury and on WKOK.com.